We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The baseball game is over. It's time for the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show with Tim Allen on The Fan.
Yeah, what's going on? It's a final as the Brewers take game two of this three-game set. 9-3 the final. Welcome, everybody, to the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. Tim Allen, after a Brewers victory to even up the series at a game apiece, and what a bounce back win for this baseball team. And again, they find ways to just hang in here, guys. Just hang in there. Put yourself in a position to make a move, and they get it done tonight. Finally, the offense steps up. A couple of crooked numbers in this one, and they bust out the long ball at Target. This is a nice win, a good bounce back win, and maybe even more importantly, we see a little bit more of the future here, and more on that in just a little bit. But Brett Anderson, a nice performance tonight. 6 innings, 5 hits, and just a run allowed. Did not walk a man and struck out 5 in the performance. He really needed that, and I think this baseball team needed that. For Brett Anderson to step up and be the veteran he has been. He had a decent year last year with a 3.8 ERA, was durable as well, and got his 30 starts. But much needed victory for the Brewers as they now have a chance to win the series and a chance, guys, to make it consecutive series victories over the Chicago Cubs and Minnesota Twins. And what a way to end that little stretch of Twins, Cubs, Twins that I keep referring to. And I think if you go and you look at the schedule moving forward, you're going to look back on this 10-game run as the toughest 10 games, at least as it goes to the competition, the toughest 10 games of the season. You're sitting at a 5-4 mark right now through those 10 games. And in all reality, it could have been one additional win. You could have been sitting a lot better, but still 5-4. I think with the way the offense had been heading into this 10-game run, I think a lot of us would have said, hey, would you take 5-5 if you could take it now? Heading into the Twins 3-game set at Miller Park, 4 games at Wrigley, 3 more at Target against the Twins again. I think most of us would have said yes to that. And they're in a position right now, not only to do the 5-5, but to do one better and go 6-4 and actually make hay during the 10-game run. Big win for the crew tonight. Huge win for the crew as you stare down the barrel of Brandon Woodruff. Barrios on the hill for Minnesota tomorrow. That's going to be a good matchup. But Brewers win this game 9-3. If you want to react to this one, 414-799-1250. As 4 home runs hit by the Milwaukee Brewers, and we finally see really what is compromised of the A lineup. A lot of people say Manny Pena is in the A lineup. I'm not sure I agree with that. I still think it's Omar Narvaez. Despite the low batting average for Omar, I still think he is in the A lineup. And Manny Pena is, at the end of the day, a great catcher. Defensively, a great catcher. Not really been known to swing the bat as an everyday player. But, you know, there's some adjustments that are being made for Craig Counsell. Now the Brewers with the win, 11-11. Let's go back over our game notes and our recap here. First inning, Brewers, a one-out base hit by Yelich. Here's some of the learning moments for Keston Hira, and I think a lot of players go through this. Keston Hira needs to understand that the infield fly rule may not be called if the ball drifts into the outfield. That being said, when it does drift into the outfield a little bit, that you have to get near first base just to keep the defense honest, and that way they don't do a double play on you and let the ball drop and do a double play. Just saying, Keston, it's those learning moments. I mean, he's obviously got the raw ability. He was caught stealing, I think. Technically, it goes down as a caught stealing again. I mean, that happened in Chicago as well, and I'm not sure Keston here is noted for his fleet foot. But nonetheless, learning moments. That's what happened after a Christian Yelich walk in that first inning. Twins go 1-2-3 in the bottom half of the first, and the Brewers 1-2-3 in the second inning. In fact, Rich Hill had thrown, check this out, Rich Hill had thrown seven pitches in that first inning to get through unscathed. And then in the second inning, his first two pitches were outs. So in nine pitches, he had recorded five outs. Yeah, that didn't bode well, and you thought it was going to be one of those nights. Twins get on the board in the bottom half, a one-out bottom half of the second. One-out double followed up by an RBI single. Then a strike-him-out, throw-him-out gets Anderson out of that inning into the third inning. Here's where it got fun. Brewers pick up a crooked number in the third inning, chasing Rich Hill in that process. Two outs, all with two outs, a walk to Orlando Arcia. And then Ryan Braun, you knew it was coming. Guys, you knew it was coming. The more he's in the lineup, the more he's going to do this.
Braun turns on one, deep to left field, out of line, and it's gone. Ryan Braun, a rope, tucks it inside the foul pole, and the Brewers take the lead here in the third.
Nice short stroke by Brawny, and he hammered that one. This question was, is it going to be fair? He would keep it fair inside that foul pole, a line drive bullet from Braun. After the Arcia walk, check this out. Supposed to be away. Look where it ends up. Middle in, fastball, and Brawny does not miss it. Good to have him back in the lineup. Goodness, that ball was smoked.
Yeah, don't look now. Ryan Braun's starting to heat up a little bit. He really is, guys. 2-1, his first on the year. Christian Yelich then drew a walk. Keston Hira with a base hit. And, as a matter of fact, hustled out of the box on that one. Jed Jerko walked to load the bases. Avisail Garcia comes through with a two-strike, two-out, two-run base hit.
And a curve, line drive, base hit into left field. Yelich is in. Here comes Hira, and the throw sails over the catcher as a two-run knock for Garcia. And a big inning here in the third for the Brew Crew. They lead it 4-1.
Yeah, Brew is finally taking advantage of a hanging curveball from Rich Hill. Garcia was behind on the fastball just about that entire at-bat, left the curveball up, and he hit it hard in the left.
Yeah, the Brewers put up four runs in that third inning on three hits, three walks. They bat around in the frame, and they take a 4-1 lead into the bottom of the third inning. Anderson needs a shutdown inning right there. I'm going to call that the turning point. You go up 4-1 right there. You know, that's a tough Twins team. And with the Brewers' offense struggling thus far to get runs on the board, you're thinking, you know, if you can get a shutdown inning there, maybe you can tack on and run away with this thing. Turning point with Great Lakes Dragway. Check out greatlakesdragway.com for rental, track rental and event information. That bottom of the third, the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, Wisconsin, turning point. Fourth inning, neither team scores. Anderson, a little bit of trouble in the bottom half of that fourth inning. A couple of runners on with one out facing Sano and Rosario. Gets a ground ball and a fly out to get out of that thing. Into the fifth inning with a three-run lead. Brewers back at it in the fifth inning. A leadoff base hit by Ryan Braun. That set the stage for Christian Yelich.
1-2 pitch. Yelich swings and lifts one deep into center field. Buxton going back, climbs the wall. It's gone. Dead center field, Christian Yelich, his sixth home run of the year, and the Brewers lead it 6-1.
Well, look out, he's coming on. Yeah, two hits, a walk. And lefty versus lefty, knocks one out of here to dead center. So Ryan Braun, Christian Yelich putting up some offense here in the fifth.
Yeah, there's not much more sweeter views than Christian Yelich off a lefty, and we've seen it the last couple of seasons when he goes to center. I mean, he squares up, keeps the front shoulder in, keeps the head down. It is a sweet-looking thing for Christian Yelich when he goes dead center against a lefty. 6-1. Keston Hira then draws a walk, and then he's picked off. Keston, another learning moment. Learn, kid, learn. Jed Jerko then drew a walk, and that set the stage once again. Avisail Garcia.
Garcia with a drive deep to left field, and that's gone. Third bomb of the night for the Brew Crew as Avi Garcia sends one out of here. And it's a three-run inning now for the Brewers.
And another breaking pitch, and Garcia smokes it out of here to left. Yeah, Thorpe having his problems here tonight. A couple of homers, a couple of walks. There's that curveball up in his eyes, and he just smokes it out of here. Boy, really staying back nicely on that curveball. Good balance, good follow through, and a line drive out of here.
Man, oh man. It's a rare situation here this year for the Brewers to be at that point up 8-1. In fact, all 8 RBIs by the Brewers outfield in this configuration. 2-run shots by the entire outfield, and then the additional 2-run base hit by Garcia as the Brewers take an 8-1 lead, bottom of the fifth inning. That was the second time in the game the Brewers offense batted around. Through 5 innings, guys, they drew 7 walks along with the 8 runs. That's big-time stuff. Stays 8-1 into the seventh inning because Brett Anderson had another scoreless inning in the sixth. Again, his final line, he goes those 6 innings, a quality start, allowing just that 1 run on 5 hits, no walks, and 5 strikeouts. That was a big-time performance from Brett Anderson. We're going to hear from Brett coming up in just a little bit. Brewers empty in the seventh. Drew Rasmussen in. We've been waiting for this kid to make his debut, and he finally does. First batter, major league debut. This is what happened.
Rasmussen had a taste of the College World Series 3 years ago at Oregon State. And a strikeout of Sano, and that's how you start your big league career.
99 up in the zone. Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, that's it. Drew Rasmussen, welcome to the big leagues. Miguel Sano, that's going to be the baseball he saves right there. He ends up pitching a scoreless seventh inning, strikes out a pair, gives up one hit. It's 8-1 into the eighth inning, and Drew Rasmussen, again, another scoreless inning. 2 innings in relief for the young rookie. 3 strikeouts, a couple of hits, no runs given up into the ninth inning. And Keston Hira says, well, let me get in on some of this fun as he stepped up in the ninth.
But they've had double-digit hits in 3 of the last 4 games as Hira will lift one deep to left field. A no-doubter, a solo shot for Keston Hira. The fourth home run of the night for the Brewers. They lead it 9-1.
Corey Knebel called upon to preserve a 9-1 lead, but in the bottom of the ninth gets into some trouble. A couple of runs, a couple of more base runners. He does get a pair of outs, but counsel has to go to Alex Claudio. He had seen enough of Corey Knebel, and I don't mean that in a nasty way. Claudio does shut it down for the Brewers' victory, 9-3. Obviously, guys, coming back from Tommy John is not an easy thing to do, and we're just going to have to be patient, I guess, with Corey Knebel. And I know that we all want him to be where he was a couple of years ago, but, I mean, with the Tommy John, it's going to take some time. And in the meantime, you just cannot put him in a game-changing situation. So that was a perfect opportunity to get in there. Brewers win 9-3 as they take game 2 of this 3-game set. And they have a chance for a series victory with a win tomorrow. 414-799-1250. Again, we'll hear from Brett Anderson, Craig Council coming up. If you guys want to react, 799-1250. Just wondering about the future of the Brewers pitchers. As the future's looking pretty bright here. You talk about the likes of a new guy entered into the mix. And I'm not talking about Devin Williams, a guy like Drew Rasmussen, as he enters in. We'll talk more after the break here. It's the Baby Shade and Blind postgame show. Tim Allen, it's a 9-3 Brewers victory. We'll be right back on The Fan.
It's the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. It's time to dive into the box score for today's game on The Fan. Brought to you by the Laborers International Union Local 113. Feel the power. On the web at liuna113.org.
Yeah, a little more like it here for the Milwaukee Brewers, and they bounce back, but the offense really steps up. And this is really what we'd talked about when the offense is really struggling. The number's rather disturbing. I mean, I read those on the On Deck show today. We talked about it last night. Some of the really pathetic sort of batting averages that the 10 of the 13 players had coming into tonight's game. And I know it's a situation where a couple of three or four or five decent games going to move that number pretty good. But I will say that nonetheless, those numbers were disturbing. However, we also talked about 4 or 5 or 6 days ago that this offense will get hot. I'm convinced of it, that they will get hot. Because when you're all slumping like that, I mean, you know, the worm's going to turn and they're going to put up some runs. Now, and again, I don't know how long this offense is going to stay hot. I mean, 3 games, 5 games, maybe a week or 10 days, hopefully, before they start leveling off a little bit. But you knew that they would get hot. And so maybe this is sort of the start of something, and we can sense that there is sort of a start of something. Situational baseball is a little bit different. Yesterday, disheartening as it's been all season long with that loss. Now, some people say that the fact that, you know, they battle back was a good thing, and it's fine. Those things are going to happen. Situational baseball, that's a little hair splitting. First and third, nobody out. Need to get that run in. They don't get it in. Yeah, you're pissed about it. I think, but in the bigger picture, you look at what they did in Chicago, 18 runs in the 4 games, including back-to-back 6-run performances. You know, you look at them battling back, just coming out of that series last night, down 3, getting no hit in the ninth, and you battle back, put up 4 hits by the time the game was over. Tonight, you put up 11 hits and 7 walks, a ton of traffic. So you're seeing some of the corner being turned. Whether or not that's going to equate to wins, we'll have to wait and see. But, man, oh, man, I got to say, this was coming. This was coming. Let's go inside the box as we take a look at a Brewers victory tonight. Ryan Braun, that leadoff spot again, 2 for 4, 2 runs scored, 2 RBIs. Same thing for Yelich, 2 for 4, 2 runs scored, 2 RBIs, although Yelly drew a walk. Keston Hira, 3 for 4, 2 runs scored, 1 RBI, also drew a walk. Jed Jerko goes 0 for 3 with a run scored and 2 walks. Avisail Garcia, 2 for 4 with a run scored, 4 knocked in. There's your Chevy MVB right there. The Chevy MVB brought to you by Chevy. Check out the new Chevy Silverado at your local Chevy dealers or at WisconsinDrivesChevy.com. Avisail Garcia doing the job tonight. Manny Pena, the only hitter in the Brewers lineup that did not reach base. He went 0 for 5. Justin Smoke goes 1 for 4 with a walk. Luis Urias 0 for 3, 1 walk. Orlando Arcia goes 0 for 3 with a run scored and a walk. Ben Gamel, where has this been? Pinch hit appearance, gets in there and goes 1 for 1, slaps a base hit. That's a good sign as well. Brett Anderson, the lefty tonight, he goes 6 innings and allows 1 run on just 5 hits, no walks, and 5 strikeouts. Drew Rasmussen, the rookie, made his major league debut. 2 scoreless innings, 3 hits. I should say 2 hits with 3 strikeouts. Corey Knebel, it's still a battle. 2/3 of an inning, 3 hits, 2 runs, both earned, 1 walk, and no strikeouts. Alex Claudio, 1/3 of an inning clean. The Brewers tonight, they get 9 runs on 11 hits, no errors. The Twins, just 3 runs on 10 hits, 1 error. The win goes to Brett Anderson. He is now 1-2. Lost to Rich Hill. He is now 1-1. The Brewers 11-11 here in the 2020 championship season, as they have a chance to take the series. Wanted to make mention just a little bit about something that I was thinking about earlier today, and we talked a little bit about it on the On Deck show, and that is the arms in this, the young arms in this organization. With Brandon Woodruff, I think that is well advertised. Adrian Hauser coming on, and I think people are starting to gain a little trust in Adrian Hauser to keep you in a ball game. I think that's a fair assessment with some Brewers fans. You also have, a Devin Williams out there. Now, I'm not sure that he's going to stay in that pen. We'll have to wait and find out. But, Corbin Burnes has maybe turned the corner just a little bit from last year. Freddie Peralta, Devin Williams, as I said. And now spike in Drew Rasmussen. And you can tell the kind of players, the kind of pitchers at least, that David Stearns and Matt Arnold like in that front office. Assembling this pitching staff with young arms that can gas mid to upper 90s. I mean, it's clear to me. Rasmussen was hitting 98-99. Devin Williams is 97-98. We all know about Josh Hader. You look at Freddie Peralta, not the upper 90s. But, I mean, he still can hump it up there, 93-94. Hauser's got some steam. Woodruff has some gas. Burnes has some velocity. They're hard-throwing young pitchers in this organization. Guys, that future bodes well. Probably the most promising stable of pitchers, basically young pitchers, that the Brewers have had maybe ever. That's saying a lot. Maybe ever. Now, you can go back and you can say, well, Bill Travers and Jim Slayton and Eduardo Rodriguez and Billy Champion, when they assembled those guys in the mid-70s, hey, they had a bright future too. A little bit different here. I think it's a little bit different. The future of young arms in this organization really kind of piqued my interest yesterday for whatever reason. It just kind of landed. The topic just landed on that. Yesterday, had to make mention of that tonight as the Brewers get a 9-3 win. Been a while since we've spoken to Aaron in La Crescent, Minnesota at 799-1250. How are you, buddy?
Good. It's been about 10 days.
Okay. All right. That's all right. That's half a season.
Yeah, that's a half or a third of the season nowadays.
Yeah.
But like I said back then, I said give Christian Yelich a little time. His last major league hit was off his kneecap, so he's finally coming around, and I have to pat my back.
No, you were right. Now, I think a lot of people were waiting for this. I'm not sure that a ton of people were ready to pull the plug on the dude.
No, and the one thing I wanted to say is he starts coming around, and look what happens.
Yeah.
Well, look what happens. This offense takes off. I mean, the games in Chicago this week, and the Twins game today. But what I want to say is, before it hits September 1, we got to make some hay. We got to make a lot of hay, and I hope we can stretch our starters out in the next 10 games or 11 games. We got 3 against Pittsburgh, 4 against Cincinnati, 4 against Pittsburgh again.
Yep.
We need to make hay in these next 10 games. If we make hay in this next 10 games, we're going to be looking good at the postseason.
Yeah, and I mean, wonder, Aaron. Yeah, I wonder if they do that, and that'll put you right toward the end of August. Hey, thanks for the call. Always great hearing from you, man. I wonder if that does happen, whether or not David Stearns would be at least interested in making a trade. I mean, the deadline's going to be August 31st, and I can pretty much assure you that if indeed he would be interested in a trade, it would not be for a rental. I would be shocked if David Stearns, the president and GM of this baseball team, made an acquisition via trade if it were just a rental. I mean, it would be stunning to me. Now, if it's a guy that had some team control and was under contract, I don't think he'd mind paying for it. I mean, we'll see what happens in the next 10 days. You're right. It's pretty pivotal 10 days moving forward. I think it's the last 9 games that has been the most impressive. Bart Winkler and I had a conversation yesterday on one of the shows that, you know, he brought up a point. He said Craig Counsell finds a way to win games. Everyone's looking at the names on the backs of the jerseys, and I understand that. We all want the Moustakas's, and we all want the Grand Dolls, and we all want the, you know, insert name there. The reality is they don't have those guys, but for whatever reason, Counsell finds a way to win. And it depends on what you think about a 500 mark, but he does find a way to get his fair share of victories, that's for sure. 799-1250. We'll take a break here. We're going to come back. We will, before the end of the show, hear from Craig Counsell. We're going to hear from today's starter, Brett Anderson. But your thoughts on that young pitching staff that Stearns and company have assembled here. Woodruff, Hauser, Burns, Peralta, Devin Williams, now Drew Rasmussen inserted. And I'm puzzled about one thing with Drew Rasmussen. See if you can help me out with that after the break here. Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show, Tim Allen. Austin, Texas is here too. Producer tonight, as the Brewers get a victory over the Twins to even up the series 9-3, the final. We'll be right back on The Fan.
It's the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. Let's get the scoop from the skipper on today's game on The Fan.
All right, welcome back. Brewers bounce right back with a victory. A really tough loss last night, and now it's in the rearview mirror because it's less than 24 hours later. You got that thing right back, and I like that, obviously. 9-3, the final. Welcome back. Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. Tim Allen, Austin, Texas, as I said, is here. Austin, can you grab the pitch count for Rasmussen? I just wanted to, before we hear from Craig Counsell, just make mention of this. I'm curious about this. I'm also, in the same vein, curious about Devin Williams and his situation. You do recall back in 2018 that Corbin Burns and Brandon Woodruff were used exclusively out of the pen. You know, that's their first big taste of the big leagues. So that they were bullpen arms. And now fast forward a year and a half or so later, then now you've got, you know, a couple of dudes like Devin Williams and Drew Rasmussen. Are they similar in nature in that you do, well, you might want to consider moving them to a starting role? Now, short term, I think that's the way they're going to work their way into the big leagues and achieve their, you know, first big league cup of coffee and first bout of spilling the milk here and there. But you saw what happened to Burns and Woodruff. And a lot of people I remember on this show said, you got to leave Burns out there. Woody's just too good. They're both too good out in that pen. Well, insert them into the rotation very next year. Opening day 2019, championship season, there they were in the rotation. You recall that. I'm just curious that I personally, and so does Austin, we like Freddie Peralta out of the pen. As a long guy, as sort of right now, I call him the Rover, because I don't know who he's going to piggyback on. What was the pitch count on Rasmussen tonight?
I think you're going to like this, Tim. 39 pitches for Rasmussen. 27 of those are strikes. It's a pretty good ratio.
It is. And I wonder, Austin, if that's in an effort to stretch him a little bit, or was it just to eat up some outs here in a runaway game?
Yeah, my guess for tonight was probably just to eat up some innings, get some outs. But, I mean, you might be onto something long-term here. I mean, they've done that time and time again with some of these guys coming out of our bullpen.
They had the two piggyback guys, and that was Corbin Burnes and Freddie Peralta. Well, now with Lauer down, Burnes back into the rotation. Now it's down to Freddie Peralta as the one piggyback guy. All right, and we like that. I like that. However, is there another one needed, and is Rasmussen being stretched out? This is short-term. Personally, I've said it this year. They need another electric dude out in that bullpen. To get where they want to go this year, they need one more guy. It doesn't appear it's going to be Corey Knebel. It might appear that it might be Drew Rasmussen. Dude's throwing 99. Now, the wildness, that's a little concerning, but we said that about Freddie Peralta, too. And he's figuring things out a little bit. I don't know. It's just something to think about. The young arms in this organization right now, at the big league level, winning while you're learning, winning while you're maturing. That's a good sign. That's a really good sign. 799-1250, you want to jump in here. Before we get to Craig Counsell, and I'm sure he'll speak on Drew Rasmussen, we will. By the way, we'll also hear from a guy who knocked in four runs tonight, and that's center fielder Avisail Garcia. Let's get Mike in here in Greenfield. Mike, before Counts, what do you got?
Awesome. Just awesome. We've been, you know, and the other guy that was on the phone said he was saying that give him time and that, but Yelich, you're starting to, everybody's starting to hit, and I don't know. I like to criticize Counsell a little bit, but, you know, he's saying, you know, you got to have enough at-bats to find out about guys, and things are coming around, and they bounced back from that loss last night, and, you know, that great defensive play in that inning, throwing a guy out, and then a double play. The base running mistakes, dude. This has got to stop. I mean, it's not T-ball, you know.
No, it's not. That's part of the learning process. It is, Mike.
Yeah, I'm pumped, and I'm going to listen to the rest of your show with my wife at the fire with my brother-in-law and his wife. So.
Man, you guys are so lucky to do that. Man, thanks for that. And Mike, thanks a lot. Not that you're lucky that you're listening to me. That's not what I mean. You're lucky that you get to be out in that setting right now. You got a little fire going. I'm sure there's some beers being tipped. Ah, I miss those days in the summer. There's plenty of time in the off season for me, Austin. Right?
Yeah, a little nip nip.
Yeah, absolutely. There's there might be a reason to be a little more impressed with the pitching again tonight. Yeah, I know Corey stumbled a little bit, and we can expect that. And Craig Counsell used him in the right situation tonight. He did not in Chicago. That was the last stand. You won't see Corey Knebel with the game on the line unless something went way haywire. But I'm pretty impressed. Again, another day goes by that this pitching staff is stepping up, and it's flying under the radar a little bit. I think we're swayed a little bit on focusing on this offense. And now we have to start to take a look at this pitching staff because they're doing their job. They really are. Maybe we'll get into that in tomorrow's show and start taking a look at team stats, starters, ERA, and batting averages against the starters, things like that. Do a little deeper dive into some of the numbers tomorrow, possibly, depending on what happens in that ball game with Woody on the mound. But let's get to Craig Counsell. I'm sure he's got some fine words to say about Drew Rasmussen and Brett Anderson.
Craig, Brett Anderson just described his outing as hot garbage for six innings compared to Drew Rasmussen. Would you take that hot garbage any other night?
Oh, that's Brett, right? That's a great quote right there. That's good stuff right there. Hot garbage. No, I thought Brett was really good. I think he's selling himself a little bit short there. We saw swing and miss. He was down a lot in the zone. Those curveballs was pretty good tonight. So, and that's a good lineup. So, that's a little better. Whatever he described it, it was better than that.
Greg, how pleased were you to see some slug? We've talked a little bit that's been missing for some of your games, and it was a night we're all up and down the lineup. There was a lot of power.
Yeah, I mean, the guys that we're counting on to be run producers tonight, came through. And so Braun, Yelich, Avi, with really big nights and driving the baseball. So, we needed one of those nights. And it, those runs and the way we pitched tonight took care of our bullpen, took care of the right guys in the bullpen. And so it was a good overall win. And it's nice to have a little cushion for a couple of innings tonight.
Greg, Drew Rasmussen obviously made his debut tonight. What did you think? 99, real easy. I mean, that's what you guys like about him, right?
Yeah, it's hard not to like that. But I thought the best thing was there's poise there to me. He threw a lot of strikes. He filled up the strike zone. I actually strongly considered bringing him into a game in Wrigley for his debut or in the 10th inning when, that extra inning game. And I think because I thought he can handle it, I think this is what you're going to see from him. So he's a really good young pitcher, and he's got work to do and he's got growth left to happen, but he's got a really good foundation for what he's doing. And obviously that fastball is just, 99 is a really good place to start. That's something that pitching coaches are going to love to work with. And as he gets better, he can be a really important guy for us.
Greg, you talk about your big guys, your run producers coming up in big situations tonight, but one of those team victories that you like, because their big home runs came when other guys were getting on base, getting walks, stuff like that. Just your thoughts on a really well-rounded effort.
Yeah, I thought the third inning, obviously, when we just put, the third inning with just a two out rally was the inning. I mean, there's nothing started. And then Arcia draws a walk, Bronny homers, another walk, base hit. And then Avi with the big two out base hit too. So, that was the inning where it's a dead inning and we put four straight guys on, and it turns into, or five straight guys on, and it turns into a four run inning. And that's a very, very good offensive inning, and an offensive inning that, we've needed.
Hey, Craig, I think it was about 40 pitches or so for Drew in that debut. Is that about like the max for him, or could he even go a little bit further than that at times?
I think he could have gone a little more tonight, maybe. But I thought debut, that was the right place to stop it. He's only been stretched out to about 50 pitches max, so we were right in that zone. So it was a good way to start it, and I see him kind of as a multiple inning guy, but I don't. I really don't see him pass what he did tonight too often. If he's really efficient, I think maybe he could explore it, but that's probably what you're going to see from him.
Craig, I don't know if you said anything to Keston after that first AB, but was it good for him, do you think, to get a bunch of hits the rest of the night and just have a good night and get him going a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, he's screwed up. I mean, there's no question about it. And we had a conversation about it, both during the game and after the game. And we're clear on it. But he screwed up.
Craig, and on Ryan, do you feel like Ryan is finding his groove a little bit? He's had such a strange start and has had so few at-bats. Do you kind of feel like he's finding it a little bit, finding that comfort zone?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's, tonight was, it was good matchups for him tonight. This is where we want him in games, and we still have to, I think we have to work hard to keep him healthy and to be in there. But he's a presence in a lineup, and that's the biggest thing. And he makes our lineup different. And keeping him, I think, involved and active and there for the big games is still what we have to do, because I think if we get him consistent at bats, he's going to produce still. He's a dangerous hitter. He has been a little off. I think we've seen it, and I think it's from the lack of at bats. But you know, we're starting to create some consistency in it, and we'll keep moving in that direction.
Just how nice. Well, you've had to come from behind so often the last 2 weeks. How nice. Maybe you didn't score first, but to get in the lead in the early innings and kind of cruise a little bit. How helpful was that?
Yeah, I mean, it's these are nights for the bullpen as much as anything. I mean, our bullpen has been the reason, like I said earlier in the day with you guys, it's been the reason why we've won games. And so we gave the guys that have done a lot of the heavy lifting a night off. It sets us up good for tomorrow and the weekend. And we got some, you know, we got some really good guys down there a day off, and have a couple guys that haven't pitched in a while that we can use. So that's, you know, where the offense helps out the pitching, even though it's, you know, it doesn't seem like it's related in a night like in one game, but it affects tomorrow's game in a big, big way.
It's the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. It's time for the current electric spark of the game during today's game on The Fan. Go to callcurrent.com for your superhero electricians.
Swisson had a taste of the College World Series 3 years ago at Oregon State. And a strikeout of Sano, and that's how you start your big league career.
99 up in the zone, and good luck with that.
Yeah, that highlight from Fox Sports Wisconsin, that is the Major League debut. First hitter faced for Drew Rasmussen, and that the spark of the game with Current Electric. Brian, I want to squeeze you in here, listening on the radio.com app down in Louisiana. Brian, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. It's been a while. How you been?
Hey, more important, how you are.
Oh, I'm happy camper tonight. One of the things the new young pitchers that I didn't hear you talk about, and he pitched last night, Angel Perdomo. I watched a little bit of it, not a whole lot, but he seems to be a little wild, but the kid's got just an absolutely electric arm. I just wanted to get your 2 cents on it. What did you think when you saw him come out last night?
Yeah, all right. Thank you, Brian. Thanks for the call. Good hearing from you again. I think he was nervous, honestly. And we see the difference, and people are different. Ball players are different. We're different. I mean, think about your first, you know, whatever it is, job interview or whatever it might be, your first big day on the job, Austin. You know, look at your situation. Your first time you ever talked on the radio, probably mortified. I mean, same here. I mean, the same thing with Angel Perdomo. It didn't look like he had the poise. But, you know, if there's anybody that can handle things, in my estimation, a little bit better, it's Craig Counsell on how to, you know, you just heard him talk about Keston Hira. He talked about him screwing up. They talked during the game. They talked after the game. I mean, maybe it's a people thing. Perdomo is nasty and can be super nasty. Big dude, 6'8", 265. So he is a guy that I think is more, Brian, on the project side of things, honestly. But he's in the big leagues for a reason. As that's just a charity case here. He's in the big leagues. I mean, for whatever reason, you got to respect that he's there. And sometimes it needs a little more maturation, for sure. The other thing, just before the break here, and we're going to hear from Drew Rasmussen before we get out of here tonight, Avisail Garcia. We're going to hear from him as well. A little bit of a breakout game, knocking in 4 tonight. With Drew Rasmussen, it was very interesting that Craig Counsell said he's been stretched out to about 50. So that answers my question a little bit. Are they stretching him out a little bit? But he also went on to say that's about where he would be, a multi-inning guy. But that's about where he'd be. That being said, I think it's that 2-3 inning role. And that doesn't mean when a game is out of control sideways. Not to me, it doesn't. Not with Craig Counsell, it doesn't. This kid's going to get into some high-leverage situations. There's no doubt, based on what I just heard from Counts. Based on his stuff, based on his poise, based on, you know, what he just said. I mean, maybe there is a right-handed Josh Hader here. He is a little wild, though, and that's the only thing to me that's concerning. You just heard Counsell say he was going to put him into a tie ball game in the 10th inning at Chicago's Wrigley Field against the Cubs. Craig Counsell loves this kid. I'm starting to like him a lot. Maybe he's that missing link out there in that bullpen. And not that they were sucking at all. They're a big reason why the Brewers are 11-11 right now. All right, we'll come back here from Avisail Garcia. Little room for you if you want to jump in here, 414-799-1250. Excellent bounce-back victory for the Crew tonight. 9-3 the final. They run away with this. The outfield knocks in 8 runs. Keston Hira with a solo shot. Yelich, Garcia, and Braun all with 2-run shots. Garcia knocks in 4 all told. We'll hear from him next here. Baby Shade and Blind postgame show on The Fan.
It's the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. It's time to go inside the clubhouse to hear what the players are saying after today's game on The Fan. It's brought to you by Windows Select. Right now, buy one and get one free, plus no payments until 2021. Call Windows Select today at 262-703-3500.
Guys, a rare runaway victory for the Brewers here in 2020's championship season. They run their mark to 11-11, and really... I'm really fascinated with Drew Rasmussen, and I was listening to Jeff Levering a little bit on the network today, telling the story about how, you know, Craig Counsell had seen Rasmussen over on the minor league side and said, "Yeah, guys, we need him on the big league side," and they had to temper Counsell's enthusiasm over Rasmussen. It's like, Counts, he's got some learning to do. He's got some maturation to go through. Just hold back a little bit. I thought that was an interesting story. But here's a guy from Oregon State, ended up in the College World Series just a couple of years ago. And a lot of people were talking about him being an upper half of the first round selection. And because of the Tommy John that he dropped a little bit, and people, I wouldn't say forgot about him, but maybe just flew off the radar a little bit. They may have found a gem here. And again, the wildness is part of it. And you guys know me, longtime listeners of my shows here, you guys know how I feel about walks. All the way back to my son playing through the travel ball scene in high school and in college. All the way to these big league guys. I'm a manager. If I'm a GM, if I'm a dad, you ain't walking. You're not walking the farm, or you're not pitching. That's just that. We're not going to have walk fest today. Every time you're on the mound, that's the one thing. So cross your fingers that Drew Rasmussen can harness that a little bit. I'm looking forward to hearing from Drew Rasmussen. Made his major league debut tonight for the Milwaukee Brewers. Here's what he had to say after the game.
Drew, how hard was the heart beating tonight?
You know, we were just talking about it in the locker room. Some of the guys asked, you know, were you nervous? Was there adrenaline? And throwing in the pen, I was sitting there throwing, and I was going, wow, I thought I'd feel a little bit more alive than this. And then sure enough, the third out was recorded, and it hit me all at once. Oh, my Lord, I can't believe it. That was one heck of an experience. It happened so fast.
Are you talking after the first inning or once your outing was over?
No, when I was warming up in the pen, you know, they called down. They gave me plenty of time to get loose there in the top of the seventh. They said, hey, Rasmussen's going in. And I was throwing down there, and I was like, gosh, you know, I thought I'd feel it a little bit more than this. And sure enough, that third out was recorded in the top of the seventh, and my heart just started going.
Drew, you waited a long time to finally get in and pitch. Were you starting to wonder if you'd ever get into a game?
Well, you know, the anticipation was killing me, and I think I'm going to be able to sleep pretty well tonight. It was awesome to finally get in there, and I know we were waiting for the right situation, and fortunately, it hadn't come along until today, and then, you know what, the situation arose where it was my time, and we finally got the call.
It was quite a different situation from what Angel Perdomo had to face last night, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know, tonight there was a little less pressure, and you know, our offense did a great job of giving us plenty of run support and getting a big lead, and so, you know, it was ultimately just up to me to get in there and throw strikes and help this game move along and you know, get here with the W.
Drew, have you had a chance to check your phone yet in terms of how many messages or calls, or have you had time to do that yet?
Yeah, I looked at it about 5 minutes ago, and it was kind of overwhelming, so I just kind of put it away, and, you know, that's a problem for another time. I think I've just been sitting and enjoying the locker room with the guys, and, you know, this is a great group, and they were all so happy for me, so, you know, I figured I might as well just sit down and enjoy it for now, because, you know, tomorrow's a new day, and the thrill of inning number one and pitch number one is now gone, and it's back to winning games and doing everything we can to make the postseason push.
Do you like that multi-inning? Sorry, Sophia.
No, go ahead. Just, go ahead.
Do you like that multi-inning usage? Do you hope there's more outings like that?
You know, I think I've said it a couple times. I'm here to get outs in whatever fashion that is. I'm happy to be here. So, you know, if multi-inning is what they ask of me, multi-inning is what I'll do. You know, I'm excited to get the opportunity to get the ball you know, how they intend on using me is up to them. And I think situationally, it could change from time to time, but you know, that's not my call. Like I said, I'm here to get outs.
Drew, Craig said that he considered you bringing you in at Wrigley, in the extra inning game. And he said, you've always been very poised. Where does that come from?
You know, for those who haven't been through it, rehab is the hardest thing. Well, you know, personally, I think rehab is the hardest thing you can go through in this game. And you know, I've gotten the pleasure to not only experience that once, but twice for extended amounts of time. And you know, every day is a blessing to be able to play this game. And so I think I've already gone through the worst of it. You know, I'm going to have bad days. That's how this game works. This game's very hard. But, it, you know, nothing will be as bad as rehabbing and that kind of stuff. And so, since I've already faced that, you know, on the field, everything will take care of itself.
Hey, Drew, you said that it kind of all hit you at once when you were leaving the bullpen. When did it start to go away? Because, I mean, you had success pretty much right away with the strikeout.
You know, Manny came out. Manny had probably about the best mound visit before I started throwing that I could have possibly imagined. You know, he came out, he said, hey man, first off, I just want to tell you congratulations. Like, you've made it. Congratulations. And you know, then he said, hey, I need you to take a deep breath. Like, we're going to work together. Trust me. We've been rolling today. We've got a good game plan against these guys. And, you know, just having the opportunity to watch everyone and just see how they look working with our catchers, I've got all the faith in the world. And so knowing that you have a guy back there, you know, who's helping guide you along, it helps you be able to relax a lot faster.
That is cool right there. That little story about Manny Pena's mound visit. I love those stories. That's a little inside scoop on what goes on out there on that mound. Super, super excited for that kid right there, Drew Rasmussen. And cool for Manny Pena to go ahead and do that. That is something. Manny Pena, I can tell you this, and interviewing Manny over the years, a super nice guy. I mean, just a great human being. So that doesn't surprise me that he said that, but that is an awesome story to hear. Also, stepping up, the offense starting to turn the corner a little bit, it appears. Avisail Garcia doing more of what we know he can do, and that's fill a stat sheet, check a bunch of boxes. That's for sure. Had a pretty decent night, I would say. Knocked in four runs, two-run shot, a big two-out, two-strike, two-run base hit. Here's Garcia after the win.
I know y'all didn't score first, but just how did it feel to get a lead in the early innings after having to come back so often these last couple weeks?
I mean, it feels great. It feels great. I think when we have a chance to push our run in for the pitchers, and I think that's what we need. I think when they score, we gotta come back and score some run back, you know. And you know, we've been fighting. I think it's been a tough year, but you know, everybody's doing their best, working hard, and you know, just focus on every game, every inning, and you know, we're just happy to have the win today.
Javi, do you feel like you're personally starting to get into a groove now offensively?
Excuse me?
Do you personally feel like you're starting to get into a groove now offensively, starting to get more comfortable at the plate?
Yeah, 100%. I think I've been feeling better. I've been working so hard, you know, to do my job right. So I think it's a challenge for everybody, you know, this season. But, you know, we're trying to focus every single day and to put, you know, the work we need to put. And like I say, be focused every single game.
Avi, is it crazy just how fast things change? You know, last night was such a different game, you know, a no-hitter into the ninth. And tonight you were able to put together a couple of big innings, you know, just one day later.
Yeah, 100%. I think we never lost focus, and you know, we knew the guy was trying to throw a no hitter, and we, you know, he was trying to get on base and don't try too much with it. You know, the pitcher yesterday was like really good, but I think we never lost the focus, and you know, like I say, every time if we come back and win the game, I think it's big for us, like, because we need it, and that's what we're here for, to win games and work hard. So, you know, it's awesome.
Avi, to hit some home runs tonight, has it surprised you that this team hasn't hit more home runs so far? And do you expect to be more a team that's able to slug a little bit more as the season goes?
I mean, yeah, 100%. I think everybody feeling comfortable, feeling better every single game, you know. It's tough, man. It's tough season, you know. And, you know, everybody, it's a grind for everybody, you know. It's not easy, but we're here, so it is what it is. And, you know, I think we're in good place right now. So just trying to continue to working hard and focus.
It's the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. It's time for the Gene Wagner Plumbing, Are You Kidding Me? Moment of the game on The Fan. Gene Wagner Plumbing, celebrating over 50 years in business. For any residential, commercial, or industrial plumbing needs, go to GeneWagnerPlumbing.com.
I think the Brewers are celebrating this victory. I mean, it might be the first time this year we've heard of some jamming going on in that clubhouse. That's a good sign. That's Avisail Garcia after the Brewers' 9-3 victory as Brett Anderson took to the hill. Six innings of just a one-run ball, and offensively Garcia there, the player of the game, as he knocked in four, a two-run shot, two-run base hit. Also, the entire outfield of Yelich, Garcia there, and Ryan Braun, each of them with two-run home runs and what, eight runs knocked in between the three of them? Keston Hira also had a three-hit game and homered as well. Are you kidding me? I like Drew Rasmussen. That's the story. Are you kidding me? Your major league debut, you strike out Miguel Sano. I mean, there's a guy that hit a shot at Miller Park last week that I think it's still in the air waiting to come down. Are you kidding me? Moment of the game. In a good way, is Drew Rasmussen in that Major League debut. We'll check the Major League scoreboard and see what the Cubs and Cardinals did today. Cardinals going to be playing a lot of baseball. Doubleheader on Monday against the Cubs. A single game yesterday against Chicago, and then right back at it today. Doubleheader against Chicago. We'll check the scoreboard coming up next here. Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show on The Fan.
It's the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show, and it's time to check the Major League scoreboard on The Fan.
Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. Tim Allen, Austin, Texas, is here as You know, we were just talking off the air a few minutes ago about Austin. We're going to take you to Vegas, my buddy Billy and I, baby Tausch.
My first time, other than the airport.
Yeah, that's
but that
right.
was a good run.
On the way to spring training this year, we had a little bit of a layover in Las Vegas, and that went well. That was a lot of fun. Almost missed the flight into Phoenix, but okay. I mean, we'd have to spend the night in Vegas. But we did end up getting down there. But so your first trip, this will be not for a few months. Of course, it'll be in the off season. Would you put money on the Brewers then? We buying Brewers 2021 championship future bets?
Well, this team is built for 162, so I'd probably feel a lot more confident with the full season going ahead here.
that's what Count said last Thursday for sure. All right, let's check the National League Central scoreboard. What's going on?
All right, a lot of games in play today, Tim. Cardinals and Cubs started off with a doubleheader today. Game one went to the Cardinals. They downed the Cubs 9-3. Webb got the win, and Alec Mills took the loss for the Cubs. In game two, the Cubs did end up winning game two by a score of 4-2. Jeremy Jeffress got the win, Miller with the loss, and Kimbrel with his first save of the year.
Wow. Okay. So yeah, they're trying to put that thing together. I do want to say this about the Chicago Cubs. I wish them nothing but bad luck. But that Jeffress Kimbrel thing, I mean, you talk about volatility of relievers. That has a chance, guys, and I'm crossing my fingers that it does happen. Nothing personal against JJ. He's a great guy. I don't know Kimbrel, but that has a volatility rate of high. It does with those two guys. That could be really bad for that Chicago Cub team. So let's keep our eyes on that Jeffress-Kimbrel thing.
All right, then we got another doubleheader in the Central here. The Reds took on the Royals today for two games. The Royals did snag game one by a score of 4-0. They shut out the Reds. Keller with the win. Luis
go
Castillo
Kansas
with
City.
The loss.
There you go.
And Rosenthal gets his sixth save of the year. The afternoon game, the Reds would get their revenge in seven. They took the Royals down 5-0 in game two. Trevor Bauer got the win. He's now 3-0 with a .68 ERA.
Dude's pretty good.
Yeah, he is pretty good. Matt Harvey got the loss. He's now 0-1. And then the final game in the Central tonight, the Pirates lost to the Indians by a score of 6-1. Savelli got the win, and Neverauskas with the loss.
By the way, in that Reds game, Castellanos hit number 9 in that game. So Brewers are going to have their hands full with that Reds series next week at Miller Park. But a lot of lifting to do tomorrow as we get you ready for the third and final game of this three-game set against the Minnesota Twins. Last time they'll see the Twins potentially until the World Series. If that's the wouldn't that be great? I know the networks would hate that. I mean, you talk about a TV revenue, boy, they would not like that. So let's see if that happens, Brewers against the Twins in the World Series. But we'll get you ready for Game 3 with the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck show at 5:30. And after the last pitch, you make the switch. This show right here, Baby Shade and Blind Postgame Show. Do a little deep dive tomorrow maybe into some of the numbers here with the pitchers overall. See how they rank around the league, around the Central. Brandon Woodruff on the hill. You got your stud on the mound, but so do they in Barrios. So this is going to be a good pitcher's duel tomorrow. We'll talk to you after the game. Austin, nice job tonight. And go Bucks tomorrow afternoon. I understand they get underway, what, 2-ish? Somewhere in there? I don't know. I got so laser-focused on the Brewers. But after that Bucks game, Sparky's going to be talking about hopefully a Milwaukee Bucks win in game two of that series. So a lot happening in the next 24 hours, a couple of big games in Milwaukee sports. For Austin, Texas, my name is Tim Allen. You guys have a great night. Nice win for the crew tonight, 9-3 the final. And remember, as always, smile, Milwaukee. The world will smile back. Smile for me. Just smile now. Smile for me.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.